Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're discussing Fallout, the newly released series on Prime Video based on the beloved Bethesda video game series. So we're talking the irradiated world, the motley crew of characters, and the big old mystery at the center of everything. Let's get into it. Hello there, Steven.
Hi, Laura.
How goes it?
You know, it's going great, man. I feel like the last couple weeks has just been some fantastic media, some fantastic gaming. I am overwhelmed in the best way possible.
Good, good.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's feeling good. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm tired. Media has been great, but I've noticed that media in the recent years has just been a quick and steady, like, golden roar of awesomeness.
Oh my gosh, right?
Like, we are firing at all cylinders in the arts and media space.
Mm-hmm.
Love it, can't get enough of it. And in video game media, particularly.
Oh man, yeah, like all of these different TV shows that they're taking old video games and making them into series. For example, the Fallout series.
Oh yes, yes.
Quite a joy to run through. I've only ever played Fallout New Vegas, but I feel like you don't even have to have played Fallout, any of the Fallout games, to enjoy it.
No, you just have to know what Fallout is.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, I am on board for a post-nuclear apocalypse, irradiated wasteland.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, no one doesn't want to explore that intellectually and visually.
The world is irradiated. The people are irradiated. The animals are irradiated. And some of them have mutated in some very disturbing ways. And it's delightful.
Oh, yeah. My favorite kinds of apocalypses are the apocalypses that I know aren't going to happen. And that's what's so nice about Fallout, because Fallout takes a reality that just will not exist, which is a bunch of people using nuclear power for every single thing after the 1950s and just having like a full-on 100 years of Cold War nuclear activity. Like, we live in a reality where we probably aren't going to do a nuclear bomb again.
Probably not.
Like, nobody likes it. Everyone got freaked out by a couple of nuclear power meltdowns. And so we are too afraid of nuclear energy to really harness it. And that means that we will never have to deal with the Fallout wasteland, making it extremely fun to run around in.
The one caveat on that is I do feel like if some country thought that another country had launched nuclear missiles at them, I believe they might proactively respond with nuclear missiles, even if it wasn't actually happening.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the one thing. But as long as everyone keeps their head and it's like, okay, we chill, I think it's probably super duper duper unlikely.
But like, global nuclear disarmament continues on apace even to this day. Like, the number of nuclear weapons in the world is much lower than it was in the 20th century. And that's great.
Yeah.
We love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then taking that and then running through that wasteland in, like, a bombed-out future that is very, very, very unlikely to actually occur.
Yeah, that
it
doesn't is even super look interesting. Like our... That bears no resemblance to our present or our past or our future.
No. Well,
That's what's great about it.
The one thing that it does... So the one thing that the Fallout wasteland sort of does resemble for me is, like, the old, old, old West.
Absolutely. That is what makes it so, like, quintessentially and charmingly American, because the Wild West is our Camelot. Mm-hmm. Like, for the Japanese, the Edo period is, like, their little fantasy realm. And for the English, it is definitely Camelot, like this imagined Dark Ages, Middle Ages sort of period of not quite centralized authority and romanticism. And for the Americans, we love the Wild West.
We really
do. It's that period where there's not centralized control. So everyone's still jockeying for power, but there's this idea of immense freedom and self-determination that just we really connect to.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, yeah, you absolutely, I agree completely. The Fallout Wasteland very closely resembles the Wild West with a few extra notes.
Right? It's like a post-apocalyptic Wild West, but with a ton of steampunk elements to it. Like, there are robots running around. Mm-hmm. There are, like, mutated beasts that are running around as well. There are mutated humans that are running around.
Oh, yeah.
In the Fallout series, there's a mutated human who has somehow survived the entire nuclear fallout and is still alive. We still don't know exactly how that's worked, but there he is.
Yeah. Is that at all part of the video game logic? Like, do the ghouls last forever?
I actually have... So I only played Fallout New Vegas, and I never heard mention of the ghouls lasting way longer than regular people. As you notice, like, the ghoul that we interact with in the show, he sees other ghouls that are kind of turning feral, and they're all impressed that he hasn't turned feral in many years. So I think he's just kind of a special ghoul.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, I've only played one, New Vegas, but I think
ghouls... And you're currently playing Fallout 4.
And I'm playing Fallout 4, which is so, so fun.
So, so good.
Yeah.
Oh, and this ghoul, he is a special ghoul.
Oh, yes, he
he's
is.
Played by Walter Goggins.
Walton Goggins. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't even know you could name a person Walton.
I know, Walton Goggins, right?
Walton Goggins. Walton Goggins is wildly popular with men on the internet.
Yeah, he is. He is. They're like, Walton Goggins. Someone on Threads said that he was the best, one of the best actors of our age. And I was like, okay, he's pretty good. I don't know about the best of our age, but the point is the hype for Walton Goggins is real. Guys really like him.
Yeah, like 10 years ago, he was just a character actor nobody, randomly showing up in Community as a lie detector technician.
Yeah, when Pierce faked his own death in Community. Spoiler alert for a 20-year-old show.
No, he didn't fake his own death.
He actually did die.
Yeah, he died as a result of the preparations he was doing for his will. Oh my gosh,
that's right, he did. So after Pierce dies, again, spoiler alert for a 20-year-old show, this guy played by Walton Goggins, who administers the lie detector test required to administer Pierce's inheritance, is not important. The point is, Walton Goggins did an amazing job as a cameo in Community, and I'm loving seeing him all over the wasteland. He's great.
Dude, he also, okay, in Community, there's also Brie Larson before she's Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is littered with surprising cameos by future famous people.
Right? Oh, it's so good in that way. But getting back to the Fallout world, so we have so many different fun perspectives, like, within the show itself, because in the game, you can take a couple different ways. You can go sort of a lawful good where you're just nice to everyone and you help everyone that you can. You can go sort of a neutral route where you're just kind of surviving and doing sometimes bad, sometimes good. And you can just go full lawful or chaotic evil and just decimate everyone you find to take whatever you want. And there are three main characters that you follow in the Fallout series that each of them follow one of those paths, which is really fun. Like Lucy.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Yeah, like Lucy, who comes from Vault 33, she tries to go the lawful good route because all she knows is having lived in this vault where everyone does the best they can because it's the right thing to do and we all care for each other.
It's a meritocracy in Vault 33 and she's the daughter of the overseer.
Yeah.
And so she is just the poster child for good old-fashioned Americana / patriotism.
Exactly.
No, she's the poster child for all the goodness vaults were supposed to retain in the apocalypse.
Yeah, she's doing good and she's feeling good about it too.
Exactly.
And then,
none of this Vault 111 where you just get
cryogenically
frozen.
Oh, that's a Fallout 4 reference where you just get cryogenically frozen and you wake up and everyone else is dead except for you. And that's how Fallout 4 starts, which is fun. And then, like, there's also Maximus in the TV show, who's kind of, I'd say he's kind of neutral. He kind of does what he needs to do. He's part of the Brotherhood of Steel, and he does what he needs to do to survive. He's not necessarily evil, not necessarily good either, but he's a bit of an opportunist. He'll do what he needs to do to get his goals met.
Yeah, he's sort of neutral, I guess, a survivalist, but the chatter online strongly suggests that they think he's an idiot savant.
Oh, I like that.
And I feel that that is an extremely astute assessment on Maximus's character, because the luck of this man.
No, it's true. He's super lucky, pretty strong, pretty good with weapons, but not no very smart. Smart.
No smart.
Makes some bad decisions. He trusts the wrong people. He just doesn't know what he's doing sometimes. But he is very, very strong and very lucky. And then there is the ghoul, who, if you couldn't guess by his name, is just pure chaotic evil. He is just trying to, I don't know if he's chaotic evil, but he's definitely evil. He's just out for himself. He will kill, maim, dismember whoever he needs to get whatever he wants to get done.
Yeah, within the Wasteland, he's understood to be one of the best bounty hunters in existence. But he has been around since before the falling of the bombs.
Yeah.
So his pre-war story is that he is a cowboy actor.
Oh, yeah.
And he brings that cowboy aesthetic straight into 200 years deep in the nuclear fallout wasteland.
Oh, yeah. He's a cowboy actor who's actually, I think he's a military veteran, they talk
about. Oh, yeah, yeah. He was in the conflict in Alaska between them and the Russians.
Yeah, and he mentions like the T-45s, which is a power armor suit. So I think he was armored up during that time. It was a very small reference. But it sounds like they were using armored suits in this conflict.
But that's the only thing that makes sense, right? Because those armored suits that the Brotherhood of Steel is using, they couldn't have been created after the war. No. They must be remnants from before the war, or at the very least, made in the image of that which was created before the war.
Yeah, that's right. Because the Brotherhood of Steel, their whole deal is they use pre-war technology to capture other pre-war technology. So nobody can use it, I guess, except for them.
Yeah, they're a sort of a cleric class.
Yeah.
They have rules not dissimilar to like the Catholic Church, where the knights of the Brotherhood are celibate. There is definitely a religiosity to the culture there. They pray to things and they think they have a divine quest. And they believe themselves the only ones qualified to contain pre-war technology without using it to destroy the rest of the world.
Yeah, one thing they mentioned that's mentioned in the show again and again is that everyone is trying to save the world, but no one can agree on the right way to do it. And that's the problem.
Yeah, I love that line. So that's Maximus's line as he's looking over a nuclear crater in Shady Sands. Yeah, in Shady Sands. Mm-hmm. And that was a line used in the trailer, which was, everybody wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful line. You can use it to apply to anything. I would argue that right now, at least in the disruptive political environment that we find ourselves in, everybody does want to save the world. They just disagree on how.
It's true. And it just reminds you that people are all trying to do the best they can to protect the people that they care about. And that, actually, they mentioned that in Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Haley mentions that. She's like, you know, everyone, we're all the same. You, me, vampires, werewolves, our friends, our allies, our enemies. We're all just trying to protect the people we care about. That's what makes them similar. And it's true. We are just trying to do the best we can to save the world. And the problem is that we just can't agree. If we could agree, it'd be a better situation. But at least you know that everyone is trying to do the best they can with what they have.
Yeah, like people really do the best that they can in almost all circumstances. We are all just subject to everyone's limitations in terms of bestness.
And there are definitely tons of limitations in the Fallout world. Like within the vaults, you have the limitations of the vault. You can never really leave the vault. Most of the vaults, you're going to be there for the rest of your life, for many generations.
Yeah, your resources are essentially finite. You can only produce what is already there.
There are rules you have to follow. There is sort of an implied happiness that you have to project at all times. You kind of have to be chill and chipper and not be a downer.
Oh, otherwise I always interpreted that to be sort of like the 1950s Americana shining through.
No, it totally is. It totally is. But like that's the assumed culture. If you don't project that culture, like people are going to wonder what, they're going to think something's wrong with you, you know? And it makes you a target. Whereas on the Wasteland surface, everything is just all chaos, no rules. People are doing impromptu surgeries to replace people's foots with like weird with automated metal feet. That it's not an elegant process. It is very inelegant. People are just fighting to survive.
They're losing fingers left and right.
Oh, yeah. You've got the Brotherhood of Steel. You've got the New California Republic. You've just got all these different factions that are just fighting to control the wasteland. And yeah, like you and mentioned, everyone's losing limbs all the time.
And part of that is just because the wasteland is so, so fraught with various enemies, whether it's like the elements, the animals, or other people. And then there are fiends who are eating other people.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
Yeah. And you have these ghouls that not only are they irradiated humans, but some of them go feral. And then they eat people too.
Yeah. Then they go full zombie apocalypse on you.
It just goes to show, like, within the vaults, absolutism is the problem here. Because within the vaults, you have absolute security, but zero freedom. Within the wasteland, you have absolute freedom, but no security, no guarantees. And so they're both crazy messed up versions of the world. And like everyone in the vaults thinks that it's the right way to live. And everyone on the surface kind of accepts, well, I guess this is the way it is, and laughs about the way the people in the vaults live. But they're both pretty kooky, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kooky is how I would describe the different cultures in Fallout, without question. I love the idea that, like, the organ selling operation is legal in the Fallout wasteland. They're like,
that's right.
At a certain point, characters are taken in and bust on out by destroying people who are, like, organ harvesters and drug dealers. And they experience law enforcement officers on the side of the drug dealers and the organ harvesters. They're like, this was a legal business.
Yeah. You broke up a legal government-supported business, and now we have to make an example out of you.
Yeah. And so just like the morality of society is so wild.
Oh, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. The show itself, again, it's so accessible. Even if you've never played Fallout, but you enjoy post-apocalyptic movies or zombie movies or even old westerns, you're going to love the Fallout series. We've devoured it. We're like six to seven episodes in. We're holding off on the finale because they dropped it all in one go. I just don't want to be done with it yet because it's just pulling me in.
It is a great apocalypse.
Yeah.
It is funny, it is bright, it is quirky, and the stakes are high.
The stakes
couldn't be higher.
Oh, yeah, the water is irradiated, everyone's getting radiation sickness just from drinking the water that's around.
Yeah, and people are connecting and bonding, but betrayal and lies, and also so just the danger.
And also, for those of you new to the Fallout world, I'm a little new to the extensive Fallout universe lore because I've only played New Vegas. But even within the vaults, not all is as it appears to be at first glance. Everything is a little bit shady there too behind the curtains.
Yeah, yeah. Vault Tech, the makers of the vaults. Maybe nefarious.
Yeah.
Probably nefarious.
I mean, they are, as established midway through the season, a $1 trillion company that owns half the world. And so they have way too much control to be able to not be suspicious, to not be looked at with a little bit of narrowed eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're not a government entity.
No.
As a private enterprise, they have the fiduciary responsibility to make money for their shareholders.
And they made vaults, right? They're the ones who constructed the vaults, knowing that nuclear war was on the brink. They said, we must create these vaults, and we have to make sure these vaults are profitable. So it is the implication by one of the members in the Fallout universe is that Vault Tech has a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that they make money, as in prevent peace from happening and just kind of let the world descend into chaos and to war and to nuclear war so that then they can capitalize on the vaults.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, that's a big accusation to throw out there, but going a couple episodes into the series, I can kind of see how that happened.
Well, yeah. So like power is such a squirrely little entity, right? And the individual that you're speaking about uses the plot of a movie he is in with the other character that he's talking to. And he's like, do you remember that movie we did where it was cattle ranchers versus the sheriff? What happened when the cattle ranchers had more power than the sheriff? And he's like, well, the town burnt down. The response to this is exactly.
Yeah.
And so Vault Tech is conceived of in this universe as having so much power, you know, owning 50% of the world, but also being profitable at the same time that the American government, after years and years and years and years of war, is broke as a joke.
Yeah.
And so what will happen? the world burns down.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, because Vault-Tec is establishing the infrastructure that the survivors of humanity, the survivors of this nuclear apocalypse, are going into, that means they also have pick of the litter. That means they can choose. That means they're basically in charge at the end of the world. All the other competitors are gone. They live in these management vaults where they manage all the other vaults. And that's never explicitly said to the people who are buying vaults and or buying spots in the vaults. You just kind of find that out that, oh, there are people in charge. Oh, right. Of course, it's Vault-Tec because they created all these vaults.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, whoever is in charge is the person who has the power to be in charge.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the power of corporations.
Yeah. You know, when I played...
It's exciting.
It really is. And when I played New Vegas initially, I didn't, again, get as much of the Vault-Tec lore. Like, who's the power behind the vaults? What's going on? Like, how much can we trust things that are happening in the vaults? I knew that bad things happen in the vaults because the fun thing about the Fallout series is you'll be running through the game and you'll find an old terminal in an old dilapidated vault where everyone's dead. And through the course of reading all of these different logs, you get an idea of what happened. And it's like disaster after disaster strikes these vaults. But to me, it always seemed like isolated incidents. Like, oh, something went bad. The water went bad. Some raiders got in and somebody got sick and there was a mutiny and then everyone died. I didn't really get the vast conspiracy part of it that is implied in the Fallout series. But it seems to be the case based on the doing some YouTube studying of the Fallout world lore. So that's really fun.
Yeah. Prime is doing a really great job of adapting the Fallout universe. So it is an exciting environment. It has compelling characters and it has a very, very compelling mystery.
Oh, yeah.
Come for the Fallout shelters, stay for the mystery. We still haven't resolved it because we haven't watched the last two episodes yet, but we highly recommend it. If you haven't turned it on, check out Fallout.
Oh, absolutely. And if you like watching people stream, I am also streaming it on Twitch these days because why not just dive into it full bore? So here we are.
Yeah. Go on to Steven's Threads account and he will be announcing when he is streaming Fallout. It's great. We're all there.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you the next time.
Yeah, catch you on the next lunch break. Bye.
Bye. This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.